Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're on chapter 48. So we keep on going back and forth between different nations and different prophecies. As we mentioned, they weren't necessarily written as a book. Because when you read a book, you expect the first chapter and the last chapter, and but these were different prophecies from Yeshayahu, and they were compiled together. And there was a reason why things were compiled in the way they were, but they weren't necessarily said one directly relating to the other. And so we often find that one isn't necessarily so connected. Last week we were talking about Babel, about Babylonia, how they were the tool to punish the Jewish people, but they abused it and they were arrogant about it. Sometimes things go well with a person and someone else faces the wrath. It's almost like, you know, when you're traveling and you see the police pull someone else over. And you don't gloat and say, ha ha, they got caught, because, you know, what goes around comes around, you know, and you always hope not that no one should have to suffer or be punished. Or we find, it's interesting, Hashem decreed that we be servants in the land of Egypt, but that didn't mean that the Egyptians were excused for being abusive and being terrible taskmasters and throwing our children into the mortar. And sometimes a person has to take a certain role, that they are the enforcer or the punisher or whatever that role may be, but a person has to be humble about it, and they have to realize that if they have the good fortune of not being on the other end of the police didn't pull them over, they pulled someone else over, we don't gloat. It's a pasuk really in Pirkei Avos, "Benefol oivecha al tismach," when your enemy falls, you don't rejoice. What that means is that we always want to be careful that we don't, it's one thing if somebody's wicked and the wicked are being punished, so we're thankful to Hashem for that. If a terrorist gets killed, great. You know, they killed the Taliban guy in Pakistan, good, you know. It's good that Hashem, you know, a wicked person, you know. In an ideal world, he wouldn't have been wicked, but he was wicked, he was a murderer, and, you know, they had a drone strike and they killed the head of the Taliban in Pakistan. Good, you know, you're allowed to thank Hashem for that. On the other hand, on a personal level, if a person sees somebody punished, it's not good for us to feel that we're better than others, because we don't know. We don't know if we really are so much better or so much... obviously we're not murderers, we're better than the Taliban, but in general, we don't gloat when other people are punished. We don't, some people say that's why Mrs. Lot was punished for looking at the city of Sodom. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you don't look when people are being punished. You know, it wasn't the right, it's not something that we look back upon, you know, to want to watch, to be a tourist, to want, you know. The Gentiles actually, they used to have executions, like what they called an auto da fe, where they would publicly burn the witches or the heretics, and they would come out and with popcorn and with the families, and it was like a big... We don't really like to watch, you know, people being punished or undergoing an ordeal, or that's not something that we'd be careful with. And so Babel was chosen to be the nation that would conquer the land of Israel, but they weren't better than us. They were just a tool in Hashem's hand, and eventually they were punished for their terrible deeds. So that was the story with Babel. Now we get back to the Jewish people. Now, after Eretz Yisrael was destroyed, the Jewish people saw that the prophecies came true. They saw that what the prophets had said, everything happened as Hashem said. This should have led people to greater belief. In some cases it did, in some cases it didn't. One of the reasons we don't have prophets today is that it wasn't so effective. Like we often think, if only we'd have a prophet would come and tell us that everything would be... But it didn't have the value of it was questionable. In other words, it did some good and definitely brought people back who were to do teshuvah, but it definitely it was not necessarily effective, and that's why it's no longer being done. In other words, Hashem would send us a prophet today. Would it help? Would we listen? Who knows? Maybe we have prophets and we don't know them. You know, that's the. So let's see. Shimuzos, listen to this. Beis Yaakov, the house of Jacob. Hanikrim, and you, the house of Jacob, are called Yisrael. Now, the two names, we're actually going to have them in the Torah reading soon. Yaakov means, comes from the word Ekev. He was born with his brother's heel on his head. There were two twins, and one baby was born, the other's foot was pressing down on top of that. The womb is very narrow, and they were crushed in, and so, but he was born with his brother's foot on top of him, which is not very pleasant, but that was symbolic that the Jew is always going to be struggling with somebody trying to step on him. And that's the name Yaakov. Yaakov symbolizes that the Jew is struggling with the heel, has someone's heel on him. And he eventually gets the name Yisroel, Israel, which means he will overcome mighty forces. And so we're put into the world to know that life is a struggle, and there'll be people that try to step on us, or people try to get ahead of us by stepping on top of us, but ultimately we'll overcome. So the Jewish people is the house of Jacob. We're a house of people that are struggling and trying to do what's right, and we're called the name of Yisrael, meaning that we do overcome and we will overcome, but we're still in that struggle. It's an eventual thing that will be called Yisrael. Now, we came from the house of Jacob, which was all 12 tribes, but really, Umeme Yehuda Yatsu. We came from most of us came from the tribe of Yehuda. That was the one remaining tribe that was, after the 10 tribes were carried off, we are from the waters of Yehuda. Yehuda was known, in fact, that's why we're called Jews, from Judah. That's us. Even though we have a smattering of Jews from other tribes, but we all took on the main Jew we have today is from Judah. That's why we're not called Naphtali. We're called Jews because we've taken on the characteristics of Judah. And we're going to see that what are the characteristics of Judah, being a Jew. So we come from the waters of Yehuda. Hanishvoyim b'shem Hashem. And we make promises, we make commitments. When you swear, swearing means that you're committed to doing something. You give your word. You commit to do certain things. And we make commitments in the name of Hashem. Hanishvoyim b'shem Hashem. We swear by Hashem. U'be'elokei Yisrael yetkiru. And we mention the God of Israel. But unfortunately, lo be'emes v'lo b'tzedakah. We swear, but we don't swear in truth. We don't always keep our word, and we don't always do it with righteousness. In truth means like the full truth, the whole, you know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Or he doesn't say we don't do what's appropriate. We don't do din. We don't do what's required, but we don't do tzedakah. We don't. If you really represent Jacob or Yisrael, you have to not just do what's required. You have to do tzedakah. You have to do more than what's required. You have to want to be giving. Want to be righteous. That's what tzedakah represents. That's what really a Jew is chosen. It means that we choose to not be satisfied with being mediocre. Satisfied with just living and just eating and just, you know, working and feeding our family. That's nice. But we have to try to make the world a better place. We have to try to be people that care about others. Being a Jew means much more than that. So we're committed to tzedakah, but we're also committed to working in truth. And so both of those are criticisms of the community at the time. Now, why do we got to do that? Because why can't we just be like everybody else? Because that's not where we came from. Verse 2, Kinir HaKodesh Niku. We're called a holy people. We're meant to be a light unto the nations. We come from a holy place. Ba'alokei Yisrael. And we rely on the God of Israel. And this God is Hashem Tzvakos. He's the God of the multitudes. He's the... sometimes people feel that Hashem, how could Hashem keep track of all the people in the world? Or all the time. And so when we use this word, the word Tzva means Hashem is the... in Hebrew they use that for army. Because the army is like a gazillion people, you know, just hundreds and hundreds of soldiers and officers as far as the eye can see. That's what the word Tzva means. So when we want to describe Hashem being involved in, you know, how Hashem's going to know if I how I treated my worker or how I treat someone else or if I did righteousness, yeah, absolutely, because he's the God of the multitudes. He's involved in every little detail. He's paying attention. He's watching. And so that's really our goal, and we have to live up to our goal. Verse 3. HaRishon is Ma'asi Gadati. And we have a way of knowing what we should be doing, because Hashem told us. We have a track record, how he came and he saved us. Mulipi Yatsu, and things that came out of his mouth. Vashmina, we've heard them already. Pitza Masisi, Hashem did things quickly, and the things that he promised would happen, happened. The Tevonu, and they came true. Verse 4, Midati ki kasha ata. Hashem says, or the prophet says, I know you Jews. Sometimes we Jews are big anti-Semites because we know our own people. Meaning that we know Jews can be stubborn. And we know that we can be stiff-necked. And that's what the Torah, the Bible says that about us, that we're stubborn and stiff-necked. Now, that's a compliment or an insult, depending on how you want to take it. Hashem created us. There are other nations that have been sent into exile and have been conquered and have disappeared. Proud nations, the Romans and the Greeks and the ancient nations. And once they went into exile, they adopted foreign gods and they totally disappeared. But the Jews didn't. Every country they've gone to, they've been proud of who they were, even if they were a minority, even if they suffered for being a Jew. We're living in a time where a lot of Jews have given up on their heritage, where they're not stiff-necked anymore. They just want to go and, you know, be part of the main culture, and they've forgotten who they are. But there will always be Jews that have that quality of pride and stick to it and being stiff-necked and insist on keeping Judaism alive and keeping the Torah alive and keeping the Jewish community alive, and they use that being stiff-necked in a good way. But when a person is stubborn, they can be stubborn in a good way and in a bad way. That's the challenge. If you have a stiff neck, if you don't bend, there's a good way and a bad way. So Hashem says, I know you're a tough people, the Gid Barzel. And you know, your neck is made out of iron. The English here is very funny. Your nape is a sinew of iron. That's what mine says. How does yours translate the... Right. What is the idea? When we say Shema, that we take the yoke. In other words, we say to Hashem, we want to be good people. We want to do the right things. Just give us that yoke. Just lead us on, because we know on our own we can get distracted. And we say to Hashem, when we say Shema, that we want the yoke. Give us the... make us focused on doing the right things. That's what we use that word, the yoke of heaven. But that's really what it means, that a yoke is that thing which keeps the animal focused on the job. Otherwise, he'll never plow, he needs to have his head focused on a certain... So we say Shema, we ask for the yoke of heaven, meaning that we want to be focused on accomplishing the right things, on doing the right things. But he mentions here that he knows that the people are obstinate, that they're tough. Kikasha ata v'gid, he says that they like their neck is made of iron. You know, like they're really tough. They don't bend. They're focused, and sometimes it has to be that way because we live in a world that has very different values than ours, and And the values change. You know, when we grew up, America was more of a Bible Belt, you know, where people had ideas about, you know, marriage is man and woman, not man and man, and it was against abortion, and now it's changed in a short amount of time, 20, 30 years. And the people out there, they believe very different. They have a whole different idea about how things go. It's hard to see the whole world. And, you know, in Europe now, people are fighting. They're saying circumcision is cruel. You don't want to do that, you know. And they say they don't want to let people shecht. You know, they're attacking. So these are things that, you know, for the wonderful Europeans, you know, they execute Jews and gypsies and minorities for thousands of years, and they're fighting millions of wars, and now all of a sudden they're worried about the animals. They've got nothing else to worry about other than the, you know, the poor animals that are being slaughtered by the Jews but when you constantly read these types of things, you know, oh, you know, that, it's cruel the way we slaughter the animals, and it's cruel to give a child a bris, you shouldn't get married unless you met the other person and tried out relationships for, and you hear enough of this kind of stuff, and it's hard not to be influenced by it. You'd say, well, how can a Jewish person marry someone who they haven't lived with before? It's just not reasonable. It doesn't make sense. And after a while, people, you have to be very stiff-necked to stick to know, look, I know the Torah is true. I know the words of Hashem. Hashem has been there for me in the past. Hashem will be there in the future. I sense the holiness. I know the truth of it. I'm not influenced by, what they write one day in the news and they say that it's cruel or it's this or it's that. It'll come and go. And we've been around before. We're an ancient people. To us, you know, we don't look at the newspaper and they say, come up one day they'll say that a bris is a good thing, and the next day they'll say a bris is a bad thing. And one day they'll say that kosher slaughter is cruel, the next day they'll say it's wonderful. You know, they'll say it's healthy one day, and the next day they'll say it's, you know, you just have to live long enough and you'll see a full circle of, but there needs to be a stubbornness to exist in an environment where people see things differently. But the Jewish people have that stubbornness. The trick is to use it for good things. And it is a real trick, because there are a lot of stubborn people out there that are just stubborn people. They're not good, you know, not pleasant people. You told them a million times they should know better, and they still have the neck of iron. And they, he says their forehead is copper. That's an interesting expression. He translated it as brazen, chutzpahdik. Like they're not afraid to. Usually, a person, if they turn red, like their forehead is described as like the. The people are stiff-necked and they're not ashamed. Verse 5. Ani lach, I will tell you, ma'term tavo hishmeticha. Even before it happens, you'll know about it. Pen tomer atzve osam. The reason why the prophets told them what was going to happen is that people might have said that the, you know why the Jewish people was punished? Because they didn't worship the idols enough. So therefore, the prophets came and said, Hashem says, I'm going to send you into exile because you haven't served me enough. Or they would say, you know why you went into exile? Because the God of the Babylonians is the real God. And so there were people that worshiped the God of the Babylonians. And so, so Hashem was going to tell you the prophecies so that you not give credit to the idols. Pantomar atzvei osem p'sinisteim sivim, or the lest you say that the idols made them. Verse 6. Shemati chazit. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. Ba'atem halo tagidu. And there's nothing new. You've been told all this. We knew ahead of time what was going to happen. Hishmaticha chadashas miyata. You've heard new things. Unetzuras v'lo yedatem. And you've been told the prophecies, things you didn't know. And they've come true. 7. V'ata nivro. Everything that had been told ahead of time came true. They were living through it. Even like today, where we've lived through Jews coming back to the land of Israel, and Jews from the Iron Curtain being let go and able to come back, and we've also witnessed things that we were told about from ancient times that are starting to come true. And this was not something that happened from a day before. We heard about them. V'lo shematem pen tomer hine yadatem. We know, in truth, we know all about it. Verse 8, v'gam lo shematem v'gam lo yadatem. But even though we should know, people pretend like they don't know. They don't want to hear, they don't want to know. Very interesting how he says that. Gam lo shemata v'gam lo yedata. It rhymes. You didn't hear and you didn't know. There's so many people that, you know, they're just deaf to it. Gam me'az lo patakta, and you didn't listen with your ears. That's exactly what you said, with the ears. Ki yedata bogan timkot. And you just knew that you were going to bogan timkot. You were going to be rebellious. And you sinned from the get-go, from the womb, almost as soon as you started. This could be like, in general, it's a human condition that Adam, when he was first created, he ate from the tree. You know, he had all the trees of the garden he could eat from, and which one did he eat from? The one he was told not to eat from. And so sometimes it's there's an idea that we will all make mistakes. We will all... We're born with a temptation to maybe not to do the right thing, and so, but that's what life is about: is learning to be good, learning to make the right decisions, learning to overcome our bad decisions. And so, he's saying that, you know, from the get go, you sinned. Verse 9: Laman Shmi Arechapi, but Hashem, for the sake of His name, has lots of patience. Utilasi, and Hashem's praise is Echtomlach, that he doesn't need to punish us immediately. He waits for us. He has patience for humans. You know, we know humans are make a lot of mistakes. They take a long time to learn. And Hashem's greatness is that He has patience for that. He waits for us. We all know in our own lives, sometimes it's taken us many years to arrive at certain truths or to be the people who we are. But Hashem waited for that. He really had, you know, He knew when we were young and foolish and we did things that we're not proud of. He had patience for that. But Bilti, because He didn't cut us off. Verse 10, Hine Sverticha. So Hashem is saying that, so what are we going to do with this Jewish people? They're stubborn. They should know better. They've been told. And they swear by Hashem's name, but they don't swear in truth. They don't do tzedakah. What's going to be? So Hashem says, I'll tell you what's going to be. You are going to, hine, behold, sfaticha, I'm going to give you the treatment. Now, what kind of treatment? So the Jewish people is like gold. Gold is a precious metal. Jews are precious. We all are an image of God. But there's a problem with metals that they sometimes get other metals mixed in. Sometimes that was done deliberately by the salesman. They put in other cheaper metals into the gold and into the silver. And when you put the cheaper metals in, it ruins the metal because it has impurities in it. So what they need to do then is take it back to the smith and burn it out, and then the cheaper metals fall away. I don't know enough about metal making, but that's what they do. Is they, and that's this word over here. It gets refined in the crucible. It means they take the metal and they heat it up. Sometimes when they mine the metal, it comes with rocks and stones, and they have to heat it up so that the other metals melt away and they're left with the pure metal. And so the Jewish people has impurities, and they need to undergo a treatment where Hashem will refine us and allow us to keep the... we see life to some extent. The suffering that we face in life, the challenges that we face in life, are there to help us become better, to help us to just like metal becomes better when it's under pressure and it's heated, the other metals fall away. So Hashem says He will do that. But apparently when you do silver, that needs like a very high temperature. So Hashem says, I'm going to do it, but I won't do it like the silver melting. I'll do it like the other methods. Now, what kind of refining does a human get? If you put a human in a fire, there'd be nothing left. So Hashem says, Bechorani, Hashem says you'll have poverty. You'll have the people would go into like a slavery. They'd have to work for the other nations. They'd be the, sometimes poverty is how a person, when a person doesn't have, it's hard to be arrogant. It's hard not to look to Hashem to ask for things. So that's what it means over here, this idea again of undergoing challenges to improve ourselves. Why do we do this? Verse 11, Lamani, Lamani, for my sake, I will do this. Ki eich yochel kavodi l'acher. Hashem, you know, the Jewish people represents Hashem. We need to be a better people. We need to work on being better people. And that's why Hashem afflicts us. That's why the Jewish people, that's why there's anti-Semitism. That's why we have to face challenges in life. Kavodi l'acher lo etin. And don't think I'm not gonna pick the Christians, that's for sure, and for sure not the Muslims. again, we've always talked about this, how silly that, you know, Christians, Hashem's gonna choose another nation. He says it. I'm not gonna start over again. I'm not gonna pick someone else. I have patience for the Jewish people. Hashem says my honor and my glory is with the Jewish people. So we have challenges. We're Hashem's people. Are we perfect? No. That's what our job is, to work from going from Yaakov to Yisrael. Shema Keli Yaakov Yisrael. Hashem has heard, Hashem listens to Yaakov and Yisrael. Mikra, and I will be called Yisrael. Ani Rishon Afan Yaakov. And I'm the first. Hashem is the creator. And I'm going to be in the game last. I'm the last. Hashem is at the beginning and Hashem is at the end. Af Yadi Yastar. Hashem was there in creation. He fashioned the world. The Yamincha, in his right hand, Tifka Shemayim. He did the heavens, he did the earth. Karani, there are some people that believe in different gods. They believed in the heavens were one god and the earth was another. No, Hashem says it's all mine. I did it all. Niyaleim Yamda, I created them together. Hikatsu, get together. That's why we have a shul, and that's why the word shul is a beza knesses, a place of gathering where we get together. That's very important that we get together to hear words of inspiration. Everybody get together. Join in with the Jewish people and work on being better people and work on improving the world. Ushama, mi behem higidus eila. Whoever will teach people this, Hashem ahevo. Hashem will love him. If you teach people these things, Hashem will love you. Yasukha, you'll be doing Hashem's job. Bebovo. Even in the exile, even in Babylonia, Uzroya Kastim, and even in the, even though the Jewish people will no longer be in the land of Israel, and even though being a minority and being in a different country means that you're going to suffer, it's going to be challenges, there's going to be poverty, there's going to be, you might not have equal rights, and you're going to face the anti-Semitism, but Hashem will love you, and Hashem, this is part of the process. Verse 15. Ani ani, it's really very poetic, this whole chapter, you know, with we had that before, the double, like in verse 11, lamani lamani, for my sake, or we had that before, bogad tifkod, you know, you're like doubly rebelling. So here he says, ani ani, me, you know, I spoke, af karas, and I called you, hadir, I brought this on, and I enabled the Gentiles to do this. See, there were many people that said, well, if the Gentiles have conquered, that means their gods are more powerful. And so Hashem came to us and he said, this is going to happen, but don't think it's happening because their God has defeated your God. It's the exact opposite. Hashem says, I'm the one who called their God. I'm the one who gave them the power to do this. I'm the one who gave them the success. Shimu, Eli, come near to me. Shimuzos, listen. Lomei Rosh B'Seit, this is not a secret. This was not something that you discovered now. Hashem said this was going to happen. I was there from the beginning. Va'ata Hashem Elokim Shechani. Hashem has arranged these things, and this is Hashem's spirit. Verse 17. Ko Amar Hashem Gola. Hashem will now. So we have this other nation that we have to serve. We have this other society. We got to live in this world where we have to. We're minorities, and we have to pay into society. We don't agree with everything that they do, and we suffer because of it. Ko'amar Hashem, thus says the Lord, Golach, I'll save you. I will redeem you. This exile is a temporary condition, even though it's lasted 1,000 years. The Babylonian exile was very short; it was only 50 years. But Hashem says, I will redeem you. It was a partial redemption at 50 and a full redemption at 70. That was the Babylonian exile. But Hashem says, I will redeem you, the Holy One of Israel. Ani Hashem Elokech. I'm your God. Melamdecha Lahoil. And I will teach you for your benefit. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We turn to Hashem and say, teach us.
You know, tell us what to do. Somebody wrote a book called it Malamdech Lahoyo, like, you know, teach us how to fix things. But that's what Hashem says He'll do. We ourselves wouldn't know what to do, but Hashem will teach us the way. Malamdech Lahoyo, Madricha Bederech Teilech, and Hashem will lead us on a path. He'll tell us where to go. Now, why couldn't we have done this earlier? Why do we have to go into exile for this? Because Lu Hekshafti, because we didn't listen earlier. Had we listened earlier, we would have avoided all this. Lu Hekshafti the mitzvot, had you listened to my mitzvot? This also, by the way, the early reform people, they came up with this idea that the prophets only talked about, they called it prophetic Judaism. They only talked about social justice and they didn't talk about commandments. Also, silly, ridiculous idea. And today, nobody says it seriously, but it's just this, we live in a world where people repeated like false things, that if you just read scripture, you knew it wasn't true. So basically they said, and it's very true, that Hashem wants us to be good, caring people, to be a mensch, to be people that think of others, a giving people, that live for others, that do for others. And that's the primary way that we serve Hashem. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't want us to keep Shabbos. It doesn't mean He doesn't want us to keep kosher. It doesn't mean that He doesn't want us to do the mitzvahs that He gives us. But at one particular era, people related to the moral mitzvahs, but they didn't relate to the commandments. They were willing to honor their parents. They're willing to be nice people, to give. But they weren't willing to do the service. Like, you know.
Hard work.
What? The hard work. That's right. So, therefore, they try to say, well, I like some of the prophets that, you know, prophetic Judaism, let's talk about, you know, treating our workers, being a good person, you know. But that's true. You know what they say? It's like somebody says, I'm a good Jew in the heart. That's wonderful. But if your kidneys don't work and your heart does, it doesn't help you, or your brain, or you gotta be a whole body Jew. You gotta be a Jew in your heart and your soul and your might and your, if you don't have a heart, you're obviously a person has trouble. If the heart doesn't work, but you have to also, he said, had you listened to my mitzvahs. I'm just trying to point out that the prophets also talked about mitzvahs too, commandments too. And it's no secret. So how did intelligent people try to tell the whole world that the prophets only talked about social justice? The answer, they assume you'd never come to a class and learn it. But unfortunately, like I said, there are people that selectively quote things, and that's the value of actually learning them, because you see that there's no basis for it. There was no basis for the early, you know, the Reform Judaism. They didn't want to do the hard work, so they like to quote the social justice and so that's important. But mitzvahs are important too, and the Christians, they like to talk about Hashem was angry with us and they were a stubborn people. But they don't like to quote, well, Hashem said, I'm not going to switch to anybody else. Or, I chose you because you were stubborn and you'll come back. No, they don't like to quote, and I chose you forever and I love you forever. They won't quote that. They'll just quote the other things. And they'll show it to a person who never had a chance to learn it. And they'll say, oh, you know, maybe I should be on this. But Hashem said, had you only listened to my commandments? Hehi kenar shlomecha. So this you have to look at, like, the commercials where they show you the beautiful water and the birds are chirping, and it's like Hashem says that your peace will be like a river. There's like a very peaceful, I think, like there's like choppy waters and there's like very calm, and like apparently a river is like very it's like very peaceful, right? I don't have enough experience to know about river. I guess the river is not a water is very, in fact, they have alarm clocks that have that can duplicate the sound of water. They say if you have trouble sleeping at night, if you hear the waves, it's very comforting. It's very, very peaceful. I know I lived in Florida for a while. I used to go out and, you know, on the boardwalk and you sit there and do the water, and then you calm down and your stress goes out and just let the water, you know, there's something to that of that. But it's described over here. You'll be like a peaceful river. I think that's part of, there's something about that. Had you listened to my mitzvahs, then you wouldn't have to worry about all these wars and all these problems and all these challenges. The tzidkaska kagalei ayam, and your righteousness would be like the waves of the sea. Verse 19, v'hika kol zarecha, and your descendants would be like the sand in the many. It says, my ayah kamosav, and your your children would follow in your ways. You would have nachas. They would follow in your descendants. Lo yikoreis, they would have never been cut off. Lo yishamed shmo mifana, I would have never had to send them away. So you really have, and this speaks to us because we've been in exile so long, we don't even know what it is to live in Israel. You know, Jews have been, we've been the wandering Jews. We've been in Europe, we've been in Russia, we've been in Poland, we've been in, now we're in the United States. And, what is the reason for all this? Well, the prophet describes that it's because, you know, had we followed it, had we done the commandments and the righteousness, everything would have been peaceful. We would have been, you know, even today, one of the reasons that there's this idea that we're back to Israel, everything's great. No, it's not great. Israel is threatened. We have to have a strong army, and we have to worry about terrorists, and we still have a way to go, is the point. In other words, the redemption didn't happen. Did it start? Maybe. Did it? But it didn't happen. It's the real redemption will be when we have peace, when we have nothing to worry about, when we don't have to have... The Middle East is not a peaceful place right now. But had we followed in Hashem's ways, we would have that, and we would have never had to be sent away. But now we are sent away, so Hashem is giving us the instructions. Verse 20. So, Mimavo, leave Bavo, Borcha Mechah, run away from the Kasim, call Rina. Be happy to leave it behind, and come back to the land of Israel. Hagidu, Hashemiu, tell everybody. Hotiu, tell the far corners of the world, spread the good news. Omer, go Hashem Avdo, Yah, Hashem will redeem us. Again, today we see it because Jews in other countries got out. Jews from the Soviet Union, they got out. They're in Israel. Jews that, in France, where there's a lot of anti-Semitism, they're pouring into Israel today like they've never done before. There's French communities and Jews that have lived in countries where they need a place to go, they're going to Israel. They have a place. So Hashem says that you'll be able to come back. You'll be able to come back and spread the word that eventually, we're here for now. And there are many Jews from Atlanta that are going back too. They go to Israel all the time. But Hashem says that he will, if we find it, the exile that we're dealing with, Hashem will redeem us. And Hashem will go Hashem Avdo Yaakov. Hashem will redeem who? The one who's his servant Jacob. We won't be thirsty. Hashem will provide our needs. Mayim Mitzur. Now, the hardest thing is not to have water. Without water, we can't survive very long at all. If need be, Hashem can bring the water out of the rocks. Which, by the way, now they figure how to bring oil out of the rocks. They can bring water out of the technology today is incredible. So today it doesn't sound like such a big miracle, like to bring out of water out of a rock. But that's what they do. They can do that. Hashem can bring the water out of the rocks. Lamo aviv kutsur, he's going to break open the rocks and water will flow out. Now, so we have this peaceful end to the exile. What about the people that didn't hope for redemption and the people that aren't trying to serve Hashem? So Hashem says they don't have to look forward to it. Ein shalom omar Hashem. The wicked, there will be no peace. They often say there is some movements like to talk about the Mashiach in like a happy way, like we can't wait. It won't be so good for everybody, the Mashiach, meaning the Messiah. For people that are following in the mitzvahs and are good people, so they look forward to the Messiah coming. But to those people that are really not doing the right things, they're not going to be so happy when the Messiah comes. They don't want the Mashiach now necessarily because they are not worthy of redemption. So in a certain way, I think that's why he almost throws that in over here in the end. It's kind of funny, like strong, like here he's telling us we'll be redeemed and we'll come back and they'll make miracles. And then he says, oh, by the way, though... don't think that everybody's going to get that. It's to the righteous people that are good, but to the wicked there is no peace. Ain't shalom, omar Hashem the Rishoyim. You got to earn that Hashem to be Hashem's people. You got to do the right things and you got to try, and that's all included in the prophecy. I'll admit that I was surprised when that last verse kind of like sticks out at you, like all of a sudden, like you know, ain't shalom, Hashem says there'll be no peace, but In other words, we are facing challenges, but we know that eventually there will be peace. There'll be peace in the Middle East, and it won't come from John Kerry or Obama. It'll come from Hashem when we're ready for it. But it won't come from wickedness, and the wicked people aren't going to enjoy that peace.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.